Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening. Welcome to another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We are so glad you could join us on tonight. We have a topic, identity crisis, discovering Black heritage in the Bible. And I just want to put a disclaimer out there. We are no way inciting a separatist doctrine. We don't believe in that. Neither do we believe in a lot of this Hebrew Israelite. But we will be helping you to discover where you are in the Bible. We know down through history, even in American history, if you look in your American history books, I'm myself studying as a child. I didn't see many Blacks in our so-called American history. Only people I saw was Caucasians or people like that, but we couldn't identify. Although we were here, we grew up here, we were born here, there was no reference to Blacks in American history. The only thing I remember seeing in history class was Black people in slave ships. And you might have a few Blacks, maybe a Benjamin Banneker or maybe a Frederick Douglass or Harriet Tubman, but that was it. So we're just here to just bring some enlightenment to you that, yes, you are in the Bible, black people. But before we start, let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. We want to give you all the praise, all the glory, for you are worthy of our praise. Father God, and we ask that you word our mouth. Lord God, we don't want anything to go out as bias or prejudice or racist, but we just want to bring forth your word. And Lord God, if there's any error in me, we ask that you correct it, Lord God, because we humbly bow before you. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you come in and orchestrate this service on tonight. Let it go forth and touch the ears. Soften the hard-hearted. Even if we have some of our people listening that have a hard heart against you, Father God, we ask that after this message go forth on the night, that you would touch the hard heart. Bring repentance to the land. Heal your people, Father God, and we ask this in your Son, Jesus, Yeshua, holy name. Amen. So as I was saying earlier, we are just going to bring some enlightenment to Black heritage. This is not a separatist doctrine, like I said before. I just want to identify with some of our Black sisters and brothers because they have been told that, in so many words, you really didn't have a lot of significance in the Bible, in the scriptures. But after we get through, hopefully it will help you to have a better understanding that God has not forgotten his people. We've been lied to. Our true names have been beat out of us. Even our children walking around with no identity. That's why we call it identity crisis. Because our children, a lot of them is acting out because they really don't know who they are. A lot of this gang banging and robbery and killing and young women having babies out of wedlock and not one mistake, but four and five. And I don't call having babies mistakes, but if you continue that path without a husband, it's going to make it even harder to find somebody. We want to help you to identify who you are. You are royalty. And the enemy has tried to deceive you into thinking that you, God just was bored one day and said, I think I'm going to make some black folks because he didn't have nothing else to do. That is a lie from the pits of hell. You are not a throwaway. You are a royal lineage, a royal priesthood. I can't say this enough. And it's more to it than going to some mega church and they bleeding you out of your last dollar. No, because what we're teaching you, these are nuggets to help you to be empowered, to know, to rise up. And say, I am somebody. I ain't teaching black power. I'm teaching true scripture power. Amen? So let's get into the word. And tell a friend to tune in. And if you would like to call in with questions, feel free to do so. Our lines are always open. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, it's 646-668-8633. I want to ask the question to you, and we're taking our references off of several references on tonight. Number one is the King James Version, and then we have other references that we will be referring to. And so we will let you know. The question was asked, who are the real Jews today, and where do we or where can we find them? Start looking at yourself. Start looking at you. You know, all this ancestry and DNA testing and trying to find your root. Why do you think there is such a longing to know who you really are? Because that was something that was taken from you. A lot of other nations, they know where they come from. They know who they are. But the black
people over here in this America do not know who they are, do not know where they come from. Even the people in Africa know where they come from. So we're going to dive a little deeper into the Holy Scriptures on tonight. And as I said before, hopefully this will bring some light on who or where are the Jews today and how do you find them. Like I said, start looking at you first. And let's go on. The Fellahim, so-called Palestinians, we know they are the descendants of the poor agriculture Jewish society, okay? They stayed in the land of Israel and was converted to Islam in the 6th and 7th centuries. So a lot of you didn't know that. But with Islam, if you don't submit, you get killed. So they felt that the only way they could keep their land and their properties was to submit or turn to the Muslims' culture by force. So they did this to avoid paying the jizya tax and losing their land, according to the 1918 historian David Ben-Gurion. Okay? And that was their future president. But what about the affluent or the regal Jews that weren't connected to the land? Well, they were engaged in trade and export. And who are they and where did these raw nomadic Jews migrate to? Well, this is the question. When they tracked the migration patterns and identified the regal merchant class of the House of Judah, which was Caucasians, where we get the word Caucasians, Cajuns, think about it. We know that they were not the pure white race, but a mixture of Asians that lived in Russia, Asians in the Caucasus Mountains, Ashkenazi. Remember these words, we're going to be using them a whole lot. Ashkenazi was also over in the book of Genesis. Ashkenazis and the Khazars. And then we have Ethiopia, which was mentioned several times throughout the Bible. History of Menelik I and Menelik II, descendants of King Solomon. Okay? Then you have Egypt. Pharaoh, he was a black. If you look at all the portraits, all the paintings, all even the structure of the facial structure, you can see that these identify strongly with the black race, not the Caucasus or Caucasian. But this facial structure is that of people of color. Egypt, Mitzrayim, that word means burnt face or black. Okay? Remember that. And you can write this down and you can do some references and search them for yourselves. Because like I said, we don't want you taking our words for it. But hopefully this will stir your knowledge. And hopefully you'll start searching the scripture. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge because they don't know who they are. But this is going to give you maybe a roadmap to start searching the scripture. Stop taking people's lies and believing them. Be like the Bereans. Search everything over in Acts. Okay? So as I said, Egypt's Pharaoh was black. We know that. Which has many written different ways. Their country was Kemet, or you can pronounce it Kemet, K-E-M-E-T. But Kemet literally meant the black land. Talking about Egypt. Land of the blacks. Okay. Now, you're not going to hear this in your history books. You're not going to even probably find it in seminary. Because everything has been whitewashed. And they make you feel that we didn't have any place in the Bible. But the devil is a lie tonight. We're putting him on blast tonight. You have lied to these people for over 400 years. And the lie have been found out. Because God is raising up his folks. And he's saying the last days he will take the blinders off their eyes. And this is what's happening. Amen. So we talked about Pharaoh, and then we talk about Moses, how he went undetected for 40 years in the land of Egypt, meaning black face, Kemet, undetected. You take a white, if he was white, as the historians try to say, or Hollywood try to portray, and you put him in the land of black face, that white face is going to stand out. Look at some of the places in Africa today, how they literally hunt down the albinos, killing these poor albino people. And to you, if you're African and Africa and you're hunting these people down, God is not pleased with you for some kind of good luck. And you're killing these people. They're human just like you. Amen? And then let's talk about Joseph. How his brothers didn't even recognize him when he went into the land of Egypt, blackface. If he was a white man, they would have detected him. Come on now. I'm just kind of opening your eyes to some things. Because like I said, for years and years, we've been whitewashed, beat down, told that all of these were Caucasian people. And to me, if you only present yourself as in the Bible as Caucasian, then you got a pride problem. God said he have people of all different nations, kindreds, tongue. So how are you going to paint yourself up to be over somebody or the most royal? Look, we're just keeping it real. Amen? So they didn't even recognize their own brother, Joseph, because he was in the land of blackface or Egypt. Then you got Noah. Called his son Ham, in Hebrew, Ham, Kaham, or K-H-A-M, K is silent. It means hot. Where do you know? What people do you know that live in the hot climates? They're not white. They're people of color. Because they couldn't take the heat. Because a lot of them would burn up. They don't tan. That means hot climate, Kemet, Kem, are the same in Hebrew, which represented the coloring of the people of the Egyptian. What happens when something remains hot for a long duration of time? Guess what? It'll turn black. You go out there and work in the sun for a long time, your skin be just as dark, and we don't have to go to a tanning booth to turn dark because we have so much melanin, and our skin will turn black. Then Moses in Exodus 2:19 was described as Mitzri, M-I-T-Z-R-I, Mitzri, meaning blackface from the land of the blacks, and they didn't say Mitzi Laban, which would have meant an albino or African, okay? Then you have the ancient Egyptians who were Kemetic people, black people, okay? And this was a statement from the former president of Egypt back in 1965. He said he couldn't respect the present Jews in Israel because they left Israel black and came back white. Think of that. So somebody is lying, or we have imposters in the land that are saying they are Jews who are not. Didn't I read that in Revelation? He called it the synagogue of Satan. He said they say they are Jews but are not. Let's continue. It says, this is a scripture coming out of the Bible, Song of Solomon 1:5. He said, I am black, but comely, beautiful. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. And why would he say he was black if he was white? You know, if one minute you're saying you're black, then you're saying you're white, you're gonna, something's gonna be wrong with your mind. That's a mental problem. He said, I am black. This is 1:5. He said, the Hebrew is Shakar, literally translate to, I am dark skin. It's all throughout the Bible. People, help us get this word out to our young black men that is incarcerated in the prisons because they feel they don't have any identity. They throw in their heritage away. Please, please help us get this out to them. Get this out to our young women. You don't have to live like that anymore. You're not a throwaway. You're not a reject of society. God loves you. Amen. My heart bleeds for the black race. I had wrote a poem. It just hurts me to see what is happening in the black race. And you killing people with guns and you think this all just for fun. I shake my head in disgrace when I see what is happening to the black race. Help us to get this out. And then you have Strong 7838. That is the Strong's Dictionary, which means shakar. It means reference from 7835, dusky or black. So the word shakar means dusky. Okay? In the Old English Dictionary, dusky is a darkish in color. Euphemistic of a person, black, dark skin. Old English Dictionary, tending to blackness. I'm going to give our number out again as I go forth. Just want to know if you want to call in, I want to leave the number with you. And if you need prayer, if you just need encouragement on tonight, our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Let's continue. And then we have the Song of Solomon 5 and 11. And it says, his head is as the most pure gold. His locks are curly as black as raven. Do you know what locks are? Big, thick curls. Thick hair. Think about that. King Solomon was, by every account, from what I just read, was black. Okay? Only black people can have locks. Some of the Caucasians, their hair is straight. I don't see too many with big locks, unless they mix with something. Okay? Then you have Bathsheba. Everybody knows she was black, but they try to paint the picture in some Hollywood that she was a white woman with blue eyes. Daughter of Sheba, the black daughter of Sheba, whose line goes back to Sheba, the son of Cush, who produced the Nilotic black race. Did you hear what I said? Cush. And this is Bearer 10:6, and the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mitzrayim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, Havala, Sapta, and Rama, and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. What about her father, King David? Say he wasn't an Anglo with reddish skin. It's like 1 Samuel 17:42, and when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and of fair countenance. The word ruddy means Adoni or Adamatic, meaning reddish black, as in reddish black soil. Adoni. Reddish black, as in reddish black soil. I don't know if many of you, but here in Georgia, we have red dirt. Some places in Georgia, it's red. But he said reddish black. So if you look up something reddish black, that's a dark skin with red tones, red hint to it. Okay? Genesis 4 and 10. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother, Deham, cries out to me from the ground. This is when Cain had killed his brother. And look at the words, Deham, blood, mahogany, and color. This is what it means, a reddish black. Look, remember the mahogany is dark wood, but you can see hints of red in it. Beautiful wood, but it comes from the mahogany tree out of Africa, I believe. So this is how he described himself, mahogany, okay? If King David was an Ashkenazi white Jew with reddish complexion, he would have been described as an albino, but he wasn't. The Ethiopian Jews, Falashas, meaning black. Zephaniah 3:10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughters of my dispersed ones. That's the queen of Sheba and her son. Remember that? And even to this day, the Ethiopians hold on to their heritage. Nobody came over there and taught them about the ways of Yahweh. They already knew about it. Think about that. They have held on to that for thousands of years. Okay? And then you have Verseth 9:2. Elohim will entice, Japheth, and he will dwell in the tents of Shem and make Canaan be his servants. And despite what they've been told, they told you were supposed to be from the seed of Canaan. We're not from Canaan. We're from Shem. A lot of the black people that was transported here via the Atlantic slave trade is from Shem, Ethiopia. Let's go on. Job 12:16, the deceived and the deceiver, or it's a Yahweh. They have deceived his people. They have lied to his people. They have told you lies and you believe these lies for generations and generations. They have told you that you're supposed to be our servant, but they force you into slavery. Amen. Jeremiah 27. Oh man, you deceived me and I was deceived. They deceived us. This is not for you to go out and talk about some revolutionary nothing, but it's for you to take into yourself and rise up above those lies that you have been told. Break those lies, because it can be a blessing for you when you find out who you really are in Christ Jesus. We have Lamentations 5:10. Our skin was black like an oven. I mean, all these references I'm giving to you so you can see we're all throughout the Bible. There have been some Bibles, and be careful because they have even taken the word black out of it. And they'll put dark skinned. They took the whole word out, so be careful, because some of these Bibles, if it's not the old English King James Version, a lot of them have taken that word black out, just like they did on some of the applications. Now we call it African Americans. They don't want you to know nothing about your heritage and all this DNA you're running around paying hundreds of dollars to get. They don't want to tell you who your roots are, not your true identity. That's why we call it identity crisis. There's a crisis here. They're calling you one thing, but you're not. You're a royal priesthood. Let's go on. Islam designed infernal slavery. The Ashkenazi, the Khazarians marketed it, and the regal Negro nomads exiled from the kingdom of Judah were the main recipients of it at the hands of indigenous black Africans. We went down to the western part of Africa after they were, and I'm going to get into that, after Jerusalem went under attack, a lot of them fled into the western part of Africa. But the Africans there, they saying, y'all ain't of us. So they began to sell you off. Yeah, there's some truth to it. Yeah, some of the Muslims did sell us because they didn't identify us as Africans. That's why a lot of us, we feel we don't have a place. No, Bible say nobody even wanted them. They were like an aborted baby. But he said he picked them up and cleaned them off. And he loved her and cared for her. Amen. You know the house of Israel. Israel had 12 sons. Two of the sons was Benjamin and Judah. The other 10 were scattered through all of the earth. Judah was forced into slavery. And we're going to read that over in Deuteronomy. Negro nomads exiled from the kingdom of Judah. They were ran out of their territory. The Ashkenazi ship merchants, along with many Portuguese, British Ashkenazi, who was the main component of the slave trade, the Portuguese and the Brits. They knew who we were. That's why they would beat your Hebrew name out of you. And they would give you these slave names. Because they didn't want you identifying with your heritage. You know, just like Al-Qaeda, like he was saying, ISIS or ISIL, keep switching the identity to hide the people, renaming your nationalities, Negro, colored, African-American. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and I can tell you, we started out at Negro, which there was a true Negro land in Africa where a lot of the Judeans migrated to. But when I grew up, they would put Negro on your birth certificate. My mom's on hers is colored. Hers was colored. Mine was Negro. Then from the Negro, they put the black. Then from the black, now it's African American. They keep switching your name around because they don't want you to find out your true identity. Regal Negro nomadic class exiled from the kingdom of Judah. Native black African trackers. Then you have the Islamic trappers between 650 CE and 1900 CE. Millions, 20 million people were enslaved by Arab slave traders. Over 20 million enslaved Africans were delivered through the Trans-Sahara route to the Islamic world. And that ain't even touching the Americas. They estimate that over 80 million more blacks died. Come on now, this is atrocities. Over 80 million more blacks died at the hands of Islam en route. The Ashkenazi, the Khazars, the Jewish ship merchants, the Portuguese, and the British were the main buyers. Islam and the Ashkenazis were the main sellers. All those lives sold into slavery for a dollar. The Romans are the globalist slavers then and they are now. A lot of this slave trade that you see still going on with these children being picked up and kidnapped and you don't know where they're going, they're putting them kids in slave trade. It's a Luciferian top line. They take these children. So we need to pray, saints. It's more to it than just going to church for a hoop and a holler, jumping around, getting an emotional fix, and then you leave your churches and ain't doing nothing. You're still ignorant. A lot of your pastors won't even teach you anything. That's why he say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Yeah, I love to praise, but I want some knowledge too. Don't give me a hoop and a holler and you're not telling me nothing. You're just giving me an emotional fix. Give us the word. Educate your people.
Stop dumbing your people down. Like all they can do is get emotional. Let's continue. The Romans are the globalist slavers. We know that then and they are now. They migrated to Gaol, Ashkenazi, the sellers, Britain, the British, the buyers, German, jewelry, and British jewelry, jewelry, descended upon Wall Street, Hollywood, and Washington, D.C. to fuel the cataclysmic final war of globalism. Islam and Slavic regions, Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, this is the bestial slavery that eventually arrived on the African continent. That blacks, listen to this, y'all, that black recipients of. So you can see all of them was in this slave trade. But not only blacks, but the Europeans were even, some of them were kidnapped. That's why I said he had 10 sons that were scattered. All the house of Israel is not Judah, but Judah is of the house of Israel. Judah was the fourth son, okay? He had 12 sons and Judah was the fourth. So I just want you to remember that. Elohim, the ritual farmers found in the land of Israel at the end of the 19th century and beginning of the 20th century, what we call today the Palestinian Christians, Palestinians, and my God, they are getting persecuted. Those Palestinian Christians even today are getting persecuted. Pray for them. Okay? They kept the Torah. They held on to Yahweh's teaching, the commandments. Pray for them. Because a lot of times when you convert to Christian in a Muslim land, it means that you won't be able to work. You can't take care of your children. They really are at the mercy of God's mercy. A lot of them, they're trying to preach the message of the gospel, and people come in there and just kill them all up in front of their children, in front of their wives. It is a demonic force going on to try to keep you from knowing your true identity. Amen? Why does American Black history exist based solely on the past 400 years, beginning in the 17th century with the transatlantic slave trade? Well, this is just a little history. Babylon to Timbuktu. And if you understand, Timbuktu was the learning center of everybody in the world would go to Timbuktu in Africa for learning. In the year 65 BCE, the Roman armies under General Pompey captured Jerusalem. In 70 CE, General Vespasian and his son Titus put an end to the Jewish state with great slaughter. During the period of the military governors of Palestine, many outrages and atrocities were committed against the residue of the people. During the period of Pompey to Julius, it has been estimated that over 1 million Jews fled, listen to this, 1 million Jews fled from Israel to Africa, fleeing from Roman persecution and slavery. The slave markets were full of black Jewish slaves, and they tell you that you don't have a place in the Bible. Many Jews fled to those parts of Northwest Africa known as Tunisia and Algeria, Morocco. And this is another name, look like Mauritania. Many other Jews fled to areas where Rome did not have any jurisdiction, which would be south of the Sahara Desert and the Sudan.
In the 1930s, it was established fact that the regal class of Negro nomads exiled from the Kingdom of Judah resided in Songhai, Mali, Ghana, and Kanem, Borno Empire, and within the Andu forest of Dahomey, or Dahomey, Timbuktu, south of Timbuktu, and communities complete with aromatic Torah scrolls. So you see where those millions migrated to West Africa, and like I said, the Muslims that were there, they say they ain't our folks. So they start selling them off to make a profit. And that's what Deuteronomy 28 prophesied. And I believe Bishop is going to get a little bit more into that, where they would be sold and taken to a foreign land. All of this is Bible prophecy, saints. It's Bible prophecy in its fullest. Black Jews had an advantage over African tribes. They carried their culture, history, laws, and written records with them. This assured them a constant precedent for the development of higher social organization because of the stability of the black people. They held on to it, but when we got to America, they beat it out of us. The people that, the black Jews that are still over there, they know who they are. They have a little area over there is called Igmo, and they still hold on to the traditions of their forefathers, the Hebrew, true traditions. But when we came to America, they beat it out of us. Amen? So with that, I hope that was a blessing to you. I do have a copy of the map. It was called where they migrated to, and they started a little area. It was called Negro Land. Today it would be called Niger, N-I-G-E-R, where we get the word. When they came over here, they would just call you a nigger, but they were really identifying you with the area where you were from, around in that area, Niger. But they had just put the word, it was so derogatory that we don't even want to use it, because they took it and it was derogatory. But there was a real little nation called Negroland. Look it up. And you can see the original map of, I think it's the 1700s. And Judah is right up under it. So nobody's lying to you when they say you are of the tribe of Judah. Like I said, we're not teaching a separatist doctrine here, but we are teaching the truth out of the word. Everything I gave you was out of the word of God. Amen? So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the hands of my husband, and he will share, Pastor Montgomery will share and go as the Lord give him. And I hope this has been a blessing to you. And like I said, if you need to call in, let me give you our call-in number. Again, it is 646-668-8633. Again, it's 646-668-8633. Be blessed.
Amen. We want to praise the Lord for what has been said in reference to this identity crisis that has been going on in the country for around 400 years, ever since our people have been in this country, discovering black heritage in the Bible. We're going to continue in this. I'm going to go a little different. Now, a lot of our people, a lot of people, especially black people, believe that the Word of God, for some reason, is a book that was invented or written by Caucasians, specifically for the reason of keeping us in control. That was said by many people believe that you know, the white folks, they, you know, when our people were in slavery on the plantation, they would make them read the Bible and to keep them in control. But that is far from the truth. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to bring out who some of the first Christians or believers in God or in Jesus Christ were. So we're talking about pre-slavery Christianity, huh? You mean to tell me that Caucasians did not introduce us to Jesus Christ or to God? Well, let's go into this a little bit. As I said before, you probably heard that the Bible is the white man's religion. That's not exactly true, people. As a matter of fact, it's a blatantly false statement that has been embraced by uninformed people of all colors for far too long. The Bible is, in fact, an Afrocentric book and belief system. And I dare you to prove me wrong on this. Specifically to address the following false beliefs circulating about Christianity. Here's one. Europeans introduced Christianity to black people. False. The Bible is a European invention. False. That's false. Christians worship a white God. False. I challenge everyone of any color to read the book in its entirety. Check every verse, check every reference, analyze the information honestly and objectively, and then tell me that the Bible is of European origin. If you can't do it, all I ask is that you leave a 5-star review for the book. Scripture tells us, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We cannot talk about pre-slavery Christianity without first talking about the origins of the Bible. I want you to hear that. We can't talk about pre-slavery Christianity without first talking about the origin of the Bible. It has a Hebrew foundation that Christianity was built. Christianity was built on a Hebrew foundation. So who are the Hebrews? Okay, who are the Hebrews? Now, let's go back to Abraham, okay, where many, and the scripture said that Abraham was recognized as a friend of God. So he had a relationship with God. But who was Abraham? Now, Abraham came out of the Ur of Chaldees. That was in the Middle East. That's where it was. I was in around the area of what is now called Iraq, Iran, around in that area, and close to around the Middle East, close to Africa, around in that area. Now, Abraham lived among Cushites. Who were the Cushites? If you remember, the Cushites were one of what? The sons of Ham. Ham was the progenitor of all the dark races or black people except the Negro. I want to say that out. Except the Negro. Okay? So we're going to get into that a little later. As Jack said, Ham was the father of the African nations, but Abram lived among the Cushites. So he looked like the Cushites. So he was a person of color. All right? Did you hear what I said? Abraham was a person of color out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of the area of where the Tower of Babel was, which was ruled by Nimrod, who was the son of Cush, the son of Ham. You see where I'm going with this? You see where I'm going with this? So it all goes back to black people, Negroes. Remember? Ham was the progenitor of the dark or black races, but not the Negro. Why? Because Shem was the progenitor of the Negro. Not Ham, but Shem. Well, why is this important? Because through the lineage of Shem came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the people of the Israelites. It said Jacob had 12 sons. They became the Israelites. They became the 12 tribes of what? Of Israel. Okay? And they were dark or black. Now let's get into this a little more. I brought that out. We have a Hebrew nation, but what was the birth of the Hebrew nation? You have Abraham, okay? You have Abram, and God changed his name to Abraham. Abram meant father. God changed his name to Abraham, which meant the father of many nations. So many nations came out of the loins of Abraham, and one of those nations were the Hebrews or the Israelites. Now, one thing I would say, Shem had many sons, okay? But these various sons, I don't need to go into all of them, but one of the sons were Hebrews. They were Hebrews before they were Israelites. I want to say that again. They were Hebrews before they were Israelites. All right, but let me get into it. It says Abraham's black grandson, Kedar, which cannot be denied, do you confirm half African tribes of Israel mentioned in the Bible? Judah had twin sons with the Canaanite Tamar, Genesis 38. Ephraim, the son of Joseph, and the Egyptian woman, Asenath, Genesis 46 and 20. Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and the Egyptian woman, Asenath, Genesis 46 and 20. So you see the connection here. These people are important because they are the founders of their line. Everything began with them, and they are half African, means that African blood was passed down to their children and into any of the tribes those children married into. You see that there were other Hebrews that married African women. It was common. It was common at that time. Moses, David, Solomon. The Bible tells us that marriages between Hebrews and Africans was a common occurrence. Hebrews very rarely interacted with Europeans other than through war. Did you hear that? So all that was going on right there was a relationship between Shem and Ham. So now we're getting into the black heritage in the Bible, because in that time, in that particular space and time, Ham and Shem commingled. They knew each other. They intermarried. And there was nothing wrong with that. God didn't have a problem with that. What God had a problem with was his people marrying into people that had no context of God. And they were into false gods. They were into worshiping devils and demons. They were into moving away from the things of God. That's what God had a problem with. But it wasn't the people like that. It wasn't like that, because the Hamites and the Shemites, they were always intermingling. Now, it says the scripture tells us that 70 Hebrews entered into Africa, into Egypt, but over 1 million came out during the Exodus. An Egyptian-born black man speaking on the truth about his home country, Egypt, the very place where Hebrews spent 400 years intermarrying Egyptians and Cushites. You see? The Bible tells us that Moses was raised as an Egyptian, located in Africa and full of brown people. All right? So Moses was raised in Egypt, and the people were dark, and they really didn't know that he was an Egyptian because he was dark and looked like them. Now, I want to bring out some things right here in reference to what the scripture said about the nations at the time. The countries filled with people of color are mentioned vastly more than European nations. Again, the Bible was a European creation. The number of references to European countries were reflected, but the Bible doesn't do that. It reflects the nations of people of color. Africa, Kush, Israel, all those different countries. The countries of Africa, the countries of the Middle East, not so much of Europe, but of the darker races of people. Now, let's go into some of the first believers in Scripture. So we have gone from the Old Testament. We were speaking of Abraham, and if you speak of Abraham, you have to speak of Isaac, and you have to speak of Jacob, whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and Israel had 12 tribes, and they intermingled with the Hamites, or the Egyptians, and the Cushites, and the Ethiopians. So that lets you know that the original people of the Hebrews were dark. But let's talk about the first people, or even black. Well, let's talk about the first believers. So one of the biggest myths about Christianity and about black Christianity is that it didn't exist until American slavery. That's false also. That is also false. And we're going to bring that out. Christianity for black people did not start in the slave trade. They were Christians way before that. And they were black people, dark people. Let's go into some things. The Canaanite woman, number one, Matthew 15:22. Ethiopian eunuch, Acts 8:27. And Paul, Acts 21:23. The above people of color being believers in the way. That they used to see Christianity was called at the beginning. It wasn't called Christianity like that in the beginning. It was called the way. Do you know the way? Are you, do you know the way? That's what they would tell. That's how they would identify each other. Are you in the way? Not in the way of somebody, but in the way of Christ Jesus. Now, it was later called Christianity in Antioch. Now, why was it called Christianity in Antioch? Because when they looked at the people, they acted like Jesus Christ. And believe you me, many people knew about or heard about Jesus Christ and how he lived. And those people in Antioch act like Jesus Christ. Hence, they called them Christians and Christianity. Now, some of the early church fathers originated in Africa. Tertullian of Carthage, and Carthage was of northern Africa, 155 A.D. to 240 A.D., and Carthage was one of the last nations that was defeated by Rome, and they gave Rome a hard way to go. Rome didn't just run over them like that. I'm saying this to tell you of the power of Carthage, which was a North African country or state. Origin of Alexandria, Egypt, 184 A.D. to 254 A.D. And Athanasius of Alexandria, Egypt, 296 A.D. to 373 A.D. So the first believers in Jesus Christ was not the European. It was the African, the Hebrew, and the darker races. It was not so. In other words, what we're saying is the European did not introduce Jesus Christ or Christianity to the African or to the so-called black man in this country. As a matter of fact, it was just the opposite. It was the black people, the black Hebrews, the dark Hebrews, the Negroes who introduced Christianity and God to the European. If you don't believe me, go to the Word. I just brought it out to you by the Word. By the Word. Okay? The reason people believe that African people are missing from the Bible or did not believe in Christ prior to slavery is because the references are often overlooked and understudied. So they would say that. Let's look at Simeon, a dark-skinned prophet and teacher. The book of Acts tells us that Simeon was called Niger, which literally means dark skin. Also called a prophet and a teacher, one of the early Christians that helped spread the gospel. You hear that? Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, Acts 13:1. You know, you got more information on that on Simeon and other black apostles. See the article from Niger to Nigger, Simeon and the other black apostles. You had Lucius of Cyrene, the African prophet and teacher. This prophet and teacher is listed along with Simeon, and according to Acts, he was from Cyrene. In order for that to mean anything, we have to look at a map. Cyrene is located in Libya, which is in Africa. We're talking about identity crisis, discovering black heritage in the Bible. The Ethiopian eunuch. Now, these various individuals that I'm mentioning are some of the first people to accept Jesus Christ outside of the Hebrew people, outside of the Jews. They were first. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Europeans. It was the Africans. It was the Cushites. It was the people that were dark. They were Negro people, or they were African peoples. Okay? All right. And I wanted to bring that out because a lot of the history in this regard is in reverse. So some of the first people to accept Jesus Christ and to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ and to accept the Old Testament, to accept the Torah, were black people. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? While he was coming to Jerusalem, coming to Israel to celebrate the Passover. So he knew something about the Old Testament, something about the Torah, something about God. So he knew these things. But he was coming to learn more, and he did. And I'm talking about the Ethiopian eunuch now. He was baptized in Jesus Christ. Baptism is interesting because when the Ethiopian eunuch is introduced, he was a very important and wealthy man under the auspices of Queen Candace. Already familiar with the Hebrew scriptures and hoping to have his questions about the Messiah answered. In fact, he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, Acts 8:27. So if you're unfamiliar with Ethiopia's link to Judaism, many of the stories trace it back to the Queen of Sheba's visit with Solomon. The fact that this eunuch came to Jerusalem to worship means that there was already a belief in Judaism in Africa and a belief in the common Messiah. So if this was the case, how was it Christian? How was the belief in God and Christianity only introduced to us in slavery? Are only introduced to us in the slave trade? No, that's not true. We already knew. We knew about God. Our people knew about God. Our people knew about Christ Jesus. What we didn't know about was the particular belief in religion that was forced upon us via slavery. But we knew of the true and living God. As they went on that way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I love to go to the word." And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Acts 8:36-38. This Ethiopian eunuch was one of the first converts to belief in Jesus Christ. So that was way, way back in the time when Israel was still in the land. Simon, he bore the cross of Christ. He was forced to carry his cross, which was very heavy, where he would be crucified. Jesus Christ was helped by Simon. When he could no longer carry it himself, Simon was from Cyrene, Libya, Africa. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Matthew 27:32. Now, we're never told that, we never were told that Simon was a believer or not, but check this out. But we do know that he had to be compelled to carry the cross. He didn't want to carry it. Who would want to carry a big, heavy cross that somebody else was carrying? Heavy, bloody, it's hot. The man's suffering. It's going to make him carry it, but he did. He was compelled to carry it, and he did. The scripture says since he was compelled to carry that cross, he probably wasn't a believer at that time, at least not openly. But Simon did have two sons, and they are definitely referred to as believers. Mark 15:21, his sons were Alexander and Rufus. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine, Romans 16:13, which Paul wrote. Apollos, here's another one. African-born Jew, Apollos. He was an apostle that was born in Alexandria, Egypt, and baptized under the name of John the Baptist. The disciple found him preaching the gospel before he even knew who Christ was. Apollos was preaching the gospel, but he was preaching the gospel that John preached. But when he found out who Jesus Christ was, he accepted Christ also. And he was foundational in establishing early Christian churches. Apollo, African-born Jew. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, Acts 18:24. So you have to remember, in those times they identified people by their lands, where they come from, and their family lineage. You see? So if somebody came from Africa or Niger, that's how they were identified. That's how they were identified. If Africans and Egyptians were dark or black, well, they didn't say he was dark or black. They said he was Egyptian. But people knew what they looked like, and they were identified as such. Now, consider this. When the Lord Jesus first sent his people out, when he sent them out, he told them not to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he said. Okay? Now, it's a good reason that Africa and Arabia received the gospel before Europe and Asia. Do you see that? A good reason that Africa and Arabia received the gospel before Europe and Asia. Christ told the disciples not to preach to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. I'll read it. Matthew 10, 5 through 6. Like I said, I love going to scripture. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10, 5 through 6. So Israel was scattered all over Africa and Arabia, but not all over Europe and Asia. I'll reiterate that. Israel was scattered all over Africa and Arabia, but not all over Europe and Asia. It wasn't until several years later that the disciples would receive the news from Simeon, Niger, that the gospel was being preached to the Gentiles. Paul later preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And consider this. Paul, the one who brought the message of Jesus Christ's salvation to the Gentiles. It's interesting because Paul was mistaken for an Egyptian. How is it that Paul was mistaken for an Egyptian in Rome when Paul really never went to Egypt? But when the Romans saw him, they said, wait a minute, art not thou that Egyptian, which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Acts 21:38 through 39. Now, if the Romans mistook Paul for Egyptian, and the Egyptian were a dark or black people, then what did Paul look like? Huh? Wait a minute here. Now, that's what the scripture says. I ain't saying that. The word says this. The word says this. That's what the scripture says. He said, the lighter Egyptians that we see modern day are what they look like after thousands of years of mixing with other races. But Egyptians were a lot darker in the past. And the Romans said that Paul looked like an Egyptian. He was mistaken for an Egyptian. Paul had to straighten out and say, no, that's not it. That's not it. I am from Tarsus. I am from Tarsus, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Now, I just want to bring that out a little bit, because a lot of times we believe whatever anyone tells us about our heritage. And when we start talking about who we are, look like some people have a problem with that. But I want to bring out that when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we are part of that. Matter of fact, when you go into the scriptures, there's many references to black people. There's many references to Shem. Remember, if when you do any study in the Word of God, you'll see that Shem was the one in which the lineage of Christ came out of. Now, as I said before, all of Shem was not Israelites. Shem had other sons. They were not all Israelites. He had many sons. But the sons that we were talking about is the sons that were leading up to the Hebrew people, the Israelite people, the 12 tribes of Judah, and the 12 tribes of Israel and Judah in particular, because Judah was the son in which Jesus Christ's lineage came out of. It was Judah. That's why they call him Jude, short for Judah, you see. And in the time of Roman occupation, Judah and the Israelite people fled into Africa, all parts of Africa. First, they went to North Africa, and the Romans chased them into North Africa. And fearing the Romans, they ran down into Central Africa, and they wound up in West Africa. And when they wound up in West Africa, it was called the slave coast. They got caught up in the slave trade, in the which they were captured by the Muslims and by the indigenous Africans, because Islam and the Muslims and the indigenous Africans knew, all right, they knew who the Hebrews were. They knew who Judah was. And they weren't selling their own people into slavery. The Africans did not sell their own people into slavery. They sold the Shemites into slavery. They sold the Hebrews into slavery. They sold the Israelites into slavery. The Africans sold them to the Muslims. The Muslims sold them to the Ashkenazi, or the European, and the Dutch. And as a result, they were sent to Europe, sent to Spain, sent to the Americas, sent to South America, Central America, North America, to the islands, all over, all over. The slave trade was huge and big business. But it was God's people that they were selling, that they were tormenting, that they were abusing, that they worked for no pay under the harshest of conditions. But why am I saying this in this way? I'm saying this because the Lord God said that he prophesied that would happen. That was a curse of disobedience. It wasn't a curse like what God said that he would put on the son of Ham or the grandson of Ham. That wasn't for us. And furthermore, we're not Hamites anyway. That curse wasn't put on us. Blackness is not a curse. Being dark is not a curse. Being a Negro is not a curse. You have to remember, the Negro is the descendants of Shem. Remember what I said earlier about Ham being the progenitor of the dark races or the black races, except the Negro? We are not Hamites. We are not Africans like that. We are Israelites. We are Hebrews. We are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are descendants of Shem, not Ham. Remember this, people. You are a descendant of Shem. Of Shem. Shemite. True Shemites. Connection to God through heritage. Connection to God through Jesus Christ. Connection to God through the Torah, connection to God through the King James Bible, connection to God through blood lineage. Why am I speaking like this? Wake up. You're not a heathen. You're not a Canaanite. You're not a Hamite. You are a descendant of the people who introduced God to the world. You are a descendant of the people who introduced Jesus Christ to the world. So let's stand up in our inheritance. Let's stand up in our inheritance and be that royal priesthood and be that generation that proclaims God to the nation and be that generation that proclaims Jesus Christ to the nation to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. What the scripture say? If my people who was called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and cease from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. He's talking to his people. Who are his people? We are his people. We need to seek the Lord as never before, pray and repent, and come out from among them, stop practicing the ways of the heathen, and come back to God. Come back to God. Come back to God. Repent. You want things to change for you? You want to stop getting shot on in the street? You want to stop dying of drug overdoses? You want to have healthy families? You want to have a healthy body and mind? You want your family to be restored? You want your finances to be restored? You want to have dignity in your life? Then turn to Christ, because that's what it's about. Go back to your book. Go back to Yah. I was like, who is Yah? Yah is God. Who is Abba? Abba is Father. Father God. Turn to Father God. Turn to Yah, Abba, Yah, Father God. And he'll make it right for you. He'll straighten it out for you. He'll do things for you that you can't do for yourself.
We just had a question, Bishop. I want to bring that out. You can bring it out. In the last few minutes.
We got 7. We only have 7 minutes left in the program. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633.
We had a caller and they wanted to know if we teach it is why we don't know about the Hebrew, you know, how the Torah and all that, why the blacks over here don't know about it.
Because of, all right. There's a question, why do the black people over in this country don't know about the Torah, don't know about the heritage? Because for one thing, it wasn't taught to us. And another thing is, many aspects of the Bible or scripture has been somewhat flipped and whitewashed. When I say whitewashed, that means that the areas that would point to black people or something other than European was whitewashed. It was said that they were European. So it was kind of like a misrepresentation of the word of God, especially when it came to people other than Europeans. And it's still going on now. But a lot of our people were not taught that. And they were not taught that because, well, they didn't know who they were.
So is God trying to turn them back to the ways of Yahweh?
God,
or they never left them?
Well, they never left them, but they still didn't know who they were. They were not really aware of their black heritage of scripture. They were never aware that everything in reference to God and Christ started with Shem, the Hebrews, and they were black. Remember, Abraham was in a era of the Chaldees. He lived with the Cushites, so he looked like them. He was a person of color. Now that's scripture. That's the Bible.
So what you're saying, if somebody grew up like the Jewish people over there, whatever they call themselves, they grew up with the Torah, they grew up with all those teachings, Hebraic teachings, it wasn't beat out of them.
No, it wasn't.
But it was beat out of us. So God, that's why he said the 1,000-year reign, he's going to have to reteach his people.
His people.
Because it was beat out of us. It's just like today now. If you beat something out of somebody, they're going to forget it.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get beat.
That's right.
So now God is turning his people back to him.
That's right.
In knowledge and in truth.
And God has people who knows these different things, and they're teaching.
They're historians. They're teaching it. Mm-hmm. Don't just exclusively rule it out, because it may not come from somebody who you think only have all the knowledge.
Yes.
God is raising up men and women to proclaim the gospel, the truth.
Yes, that's what it is. It
was, and I don't think they just heard that it was more of the Jewish people that was selling the people into slavery.
Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
We want to make a difference between Ashkenazi and Jew, because Ashkenaz is a descendant of Japheth. Japheth is not Shem. Remember, the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came through Shem, not Japheth. So Japheth can't be a Jew, because they came from Japheth.
Do you have time for one more question?
We have 3 minutes left.
Okay, well, the next question is, how will this teaching unite the churches in America?
This teaching will unite the churches of America because, as we just said, we just dwelt on one tribe, which was Judah. Judah was a tribe that was sold into slavery, and their identity and heritage was hijacked, whereas they still, a lot of them in America still don't know who they are. But Israel had 12 sons, and they comprised of just about every tongue and nation on the face of the earth. And God said that he would draw all of his people together. So, yes, but they have to know who they are, and they have to begin to call to God, and they have to begin to go back to God as they did in the New Testament time and Old Testament. But we only have a few moments left, and I'll have to close out at this time. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for the program on tonight. We thank you for the lesson. We thank you for giving us information on our true heritage in God. Father God, we ask that you touch our minds and our hearts. Let this sink down in our hearts and mind, and let the revelation that you have for us be manifest all the more. Father God, we come against any hindering spirit or any spirit that would try to steal knowledge. We come against spirits of confusion. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
We'll see you next week.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to try.